This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Audio courtesy of TNT. It was an historic choke job, and it was soft. By the guys who were out. I saw them assing off on the bench, and we will talk about them assing off on the bench. That's certainly true. But I tell you, at the end of that game, not even the end of the game, the whole fourth quarter, Donovan Mitchell was the only one who had any design to be out there and to try to put this game away. Everybody else, they were trying to get I've said this before about games that, you know, you're up and you shouldn't be up in. It's like you're trying to rob a bank. And you're trying to get out of there before you get caught. And everybody else just wanted to get out of there as soon as they could. They had zero plan. And you know what? I got to say, including Kenny Atkinson. Because they had zero plan. I think Kenny was just thanking God that they were up. I think that everybody else was thanking God that they were up and thanking God for Donovan Mitchell. And Donovan Mitchell was the only one who was sitting there thinking, we got 12 minutes. We got to close this thing out. Everybody else could not wait to get back to the locker room. And what transpired was one of the most historic, stunning losses I think I've ever seen in watching Cavs basketball, covering Cavs basketball, watching Cleveland sports and loving it. It was unbelievable. I couldn't be mad at the very beginning because I sat there shocked. Just shocked and dismayed watching Donovan Mitchell fall and fall, and like he was Jeff Hardy throughout that game to get 48 points, like Mankind off the top of the Hell in the Cell. And to have it wasted, and to be in a 2-0 hole, and I got a bunch of people telling me about the series. All right, we'll talk about that. I'm just letting you know how I felt after all this. Like, I'm still trying to, Tone, I'm gonna let you go here in a second. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm on my way in this morning. I had to relive it. I'm on my way in. I stop at a gas station. A wonderful get-go. I stopped at a gas station. There's a guy who's, hey, how you doing? How'd the Cavs, how'd it work? Or he goes, how about the Cavs? And I was like, yeah, you know, and he did not know what happened. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, oh, we just got blown out. I go, no, far worse. So I had to tell him bad news overnight. I'm going, we're doing all this over again? I had to be the guy who bore the bad news. Not only were we up in the game, we were up 20 at one point and 7 with 40 seconds left. And everybody, with the Donovan Mitchell, I don't know, Greg Anthony was trying to talk him into a flagrant foul. Everybody freaked out except for one guy. And even that guy, people are going to say that he freaked out today. So that's where we're at.
There was a ton of freaking out.
This is
out.
As bad as it gets. Go ahead.
There was such a surreal feeling in that building because we were yucking it up. I felt like what you just described with the internet, Cavs fans were annoyed with some of the, I did not see this, some of the guys on the bench kind of, what, they thought the game was over? Is that what it is?
I think they thought it was. And if you notice, if you go back, I don't know if you got the heart to go back and watch the thing. If you go back and you watch and see the, you know the camera angles better than me. You're a TV guy. I don't know anything about it. The camera angle from behind Tyrese Halliburton on the three, there is somebody waving a towel walking back to the locker room. Like, they think they have won the game. God. Somebody was walking back to the locker room through the tunnel. You could see them in the corner. Go back and watch. It's in the corner. I got to find the Zapruder film and who it was because I want to hug the person because they clearly thought the game was over and we won the game. And they're walking through the tunnel waving their towel before the three. So he thinks there's a scrum. The lights are going to go out. The horn's going to go off. And it's a 1-1 series. And then Tyrese Halliburton rips a heart out and shows it to us. And then there's the John Halliburton memes. And it was soft, guys. It was soft. There's no way else to say it. Choke job because the guys, it's not about heart. They were just afraid to be in the moment. The guys who were out there, God bless them for the first three quarters, man, but they were afraid to be in the moment.
Well, they're up 7, 48 seconds to go. You know, Ty Jerome comes back in for Dean Wade, and I can be honest. I'm sitting there on the phone. Sarah's like, oh, Cavs are going to win. Cavs are going to win. Meanwhile, people are trying to, again, get AC's autograph to try to take pictures. AC goes, the game is not over. This is the NBA in 2025. Man. These games are not over. And remind you, the Pacers just did this. They just had an insane all-time come from behind, 8 points in like 40-second improbable victory against Milwaukee. Right?
And
they did that. It looked like that series is going to be prolonged. We're like, when are we ever going to play this series? And so they had already pulled it off. And so I get off the phone. Then next thing you know, there is just an easy. Aaron Nesmith comes in, dunks it. All right, lead is at 5. Then Donovan Mitchell, because we have nobody that could dribble the ball up the floor. I mean, I don't think we could get the ball past half court in the final minute of the game. So Donovan Mitchell has the ball. You're like, all right, I feel good about Donovan. They'll foul or they'll trap, but he'll make the right decision. He turns around, and right in his face is an Indiana defender that he knocks over. Didn't have a lot of space to turn. Not only did they call the foul there, and we're like, oh, well, this will probably get wiped off. They go to the monitor to see if it is a flagrant on the guy with the ball. Why? What? And what sense does that make? Like, Donovan Mitchell all of a sudden is going to, oh, it's time for me to be a flagrant foul guy. Like, what? We're just trying to milk the game away. Okay, so they go back, they look at it, and they're like, just a common foul, but still Pacer ball. It's still Pacer ball. And then they come in, get a rebound off Jared Allen, blocked Halliburton, but Siakam is there to clean it up. It's now a 3-point game. We call our last timeout because we can't get the ball inbounds. Max Strus is trying to inbound the ball under the baseline, and you are taught you can run the baseline at that point. It's after a make. Different from after a dead ball, different from after a timeout. So Max Strus kind of hops like the Easter Bunny. He hops two different times instead of just running the baseline. He throws it in to beat the 5-second count, and what does Kenny Atkinson do? Oh, my God, we're not going to get the ball in. Timeout. They use their last timeout. And I swear to God, I wrote that down. I go, Cavs are without timeouts. And I'm like, oh, no, they're without timeouts. And now I can hear the radio call. So Alcorn and Jim Jones in the building, Alcorn's all over it. He's like, they don't have timeouts. They don't have timeouts at all. And then you're like, but they're still up 3. You'd rather be up 3 with 27 seconds left than anything else. The problem was, Ty Jerome re-enters the game. You're like, what does Donovan Mitchell have left? These guys are completely dead. And then there is a foul. Tyrese Halliburton goes to the foul line, which makes the first one. Okay, so it's a 2-point game. He misses the second. And for the second time in the last minute and a half, you're like, is there a lane violation there? Like, are they going to call lane violation with the game on the line? There were two of them, not one. You're going to see 2-minute report. We'll have the Pacers will have committed 2 egregious lane violations.
I hope it doesn't.
Well, that's what it's just
gonna,
I was
it's
the guy.
It's not going to make me feel any better.
So
I hate that stuff. God, I hate it. Just
I
let
was
it go.
The guy. I was the guy in game one that said, how is anybody complaining about officials? How is anybody complaining about officials?
Oh, I wrote that down.
And in this case, there's 2 lane violations, but It's a playoff game. It's the final minute. I don't think I've ever seen a lane violation called in the final minute of a playoff game. There are two of them. There are two of them in addition to the Donovan thing. So I want to know from you, should I be the last one to mention any of this, considering how I got into it with Cavs Twitter, Cavs Reddit, Cavs social media, phone callers about the officiating when Donovan did go to the foul line 21 times? The Cavs had free throws. So should it even be mentioned? Should the lane violations mentioned?
No, I mean, they're going to mention it because it's their job.
And it'll be in the two-minute when they go back. When they issue the report, they will say the refs missed both of those.
We got Kenny on the lane violations. Go right on ahead. Thank you, Owen.
They said they couldn't review if he went in early or not. So that way they couldn't look at that. I asked Tony, I said, can you look at it? Our video guys seem to think he was in early. I didn't look at the film. Obviously, if they missed that, that's a big one. But I'm not going to make that judgment without seeing it.
All right, there's Kenny on that. Listen,
everybody doesn't need to see it. We saw it. I mean, they were both. But is that tantamount to like 3 second violations, a 5 second call in college and high school?
I mean, this is a big moment. A lane violation is a lane violation. But I'm not just going to sit there and lament for the rest of the night, the rest of the morning. And I know you're not either about a lane violation, for crying out loud.
There were 30 other things that went wrong.
Because everybody in the everybody freaked out. Everybody on the floor freaked out. That's the problem I have. Like, I can bitch and get mad over seeing Evan Mobley and Darius Garland, everybody yucking it up on the sideline. And we'll do that. Okay? I get it. I heard Kenny Eck, but I'm a little bit bothered here because this might be the quickest honeymoon we've had after a coach of the year. And we've had two Browns coach of the years here recently, so that's saying something. For the love of God, the lack of poise from everybody, except Donovan Mitchell. Leave Donovan out of it. But the lack of poise from 14 others, including the coaching staff, is unlike anything I've seen. And I've watched the Browns my whole life, and I can't believe what I saw last night. And honestly, it started before the game. The complaining about the fouls and the things before the game last night, the injuries, because I watched that pregame. Mm-hmm. I watched that pregame, and Kenny went on that five-minute soliloquy the fouls and about all the stuff. I go, he knows more than he's letting on. These guys ain't playing tonight. Hand to God. We did not know. And I watched that. I go, they ain't playing tonight. They ain't playing tonight. The only other guy was Nick sitting across from me over at the TV station. He knew. Lou's going, what? I go, they ain't playing tonight. You watch. These guys are not playing. They know more than what we know. He's mad. He knows that this is an uphill battle. He knows that they now, I mean, they're going to be, it's a 2-0 series. And I don't want to say that the series is over because I'm a Cavs fan and it's 6 in the morning after a loss like this. So I don't want to go too crazy on it. But I don't know how the hell they pick up the pieces after something like this, because everybody on the floor was afraid to win the game except for Donovan Mitchell. They were all afraid to win the game. And the guy on the sidelines who's calling all this is afraid to win the game as well. He's afraid of it. The things we bitched about last year with J.B. Bickerstaff, tell me where it was different last night. Tell me where it was different. It wasn't. You know why? Because we knew it was over with J.B. Bickerstaff, so we were looking for reasons to fire J.B. Bickerstaff. And we had the same problems last night that we had before. So what has really changed? It's easy to do it, guys. It's easy to do it from Halloween to Easter. And now here we are. And these are tough teams, and guys, I want to deny it. I hate it, especially in a city like this. The scouting report's there, and it's been there for 3 years. You shove them around, they go away. We're calling the Pacers dirty. Are they more dirty than the New York Knicks? Are they more dirty than the Orlando Magic? Are they more dirty than Boston? I don't know. That's four teams we're calling dirty. Maybe we need to step it up a little bit. Maybe our guys need to be a little bit dangerous.
That's the crazy thing about yesterday, is that we were physical. We had done everything that you wanted them to do. You had that 7-point lead with 45 seconds left. Max Strus was in on every play. He was throwing guys around, body checking Tyrese Halliburton. Jared Allen had a monster performance, maybe his best playoff performance of his career. You got Sam Merrill, huge minutes. Unfortunately, Ty Jerome has just been missing. He has had his worst stretch of games maybe of his NBA career, and he picked the worst possible time to do it. He was horrendous. He couldn't dribble the ball. He is a point guard who all of a sudden couldn't put the ball on the floor, so much so that they took him out of the equation at the end of the game. They didn't want him having the ball in his hands because he was freaking out every time he touched it. The moment, it was like all that contract stuff was in his head for the last 2 weeks, And he was buying
looked
all
like
of it.
Looked like Fredo with the basketball on his hand.
It was terrible. It was so bad.
It was awful.
From Ty Jerome, just a different player. It was like he had an out-of-body experience
Don't
compared
laugh,
to the guy
Owen.
That I've seen over the last year.
216-474-0092. Where does that sit with you last night? Yeah. Somehow we got to pick up the pieces and play on Friday against Indiana. They said that the locker room was a positive place after this loss.
Which locker room?
Cavs. Oh, they're ready to go, brother. Oh, yeah. Okay. I hope so. I sure as hell hope so. Because if you think that the regular season didn't matter before, go lose this series. Go see how that works out for us. Okay. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say things about Darius Garland that I don't mean and Evan Mobley. I'm mad that they showed him on the bench and they were laughing and goofing off. I don't like that. I think you have to know your audience and know that fans are watching all over the world and you are in a tight spot. And when they see you assing off on the bench, boy, you better win that game or there's going to be a problem. But I looked at it, I saw Evan Mobley coming off the bench and I go, I don't think he's playing for the rest of the series. I saw him trying to stand up during breaks, during the huddles, and I'm going, mm-mm. Donovan or Darius, who knows? Who knows? Who knows? So that's where we're at. And I'm not going to sit there and say things because I don't know. I'm not in their shoes. Maybe the sprain is that bad of the ankle. Maybe the sprain is that bad of the toe. It seems like it's just turf toe. And they had to take Deion Sanders' toe off for crying out loud. So it may be that bad. But the guys on the floor, holy God, I haven't seen you do that down your leg, and I can't remember when. So it's a dispiriting, it's a disheartening thing, man. It's a really disheartening thing. You're up by 20, and go, man, we're going to steal this. This is great. Maybe we can get there. Now it's a 2-0 hole. And Donovan Mitchell played his ass off, and he had 48 points last night, and it all goes for a 2-0 hole.
Did it carry him off the floor almost at the end of the game? He was so exhausted.
All right, 216-474-0092. Who said he was throwing people under the bus? That didn't sound like throwing under the bus.
Not there, no.
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 There were fans saying they sounded like he was throwing some people under. If Donovan wants to throw anybody under the bus, go right on ahead. I don't care. I'll trade any of them for you right now. Fine.
Thought it was funny. I don't think you said it on air yesterday, Anthony, but out in the hall, you definitely told me, feels like one of these games where Donovan needs to have 50 and he's going to. Well, he had 48.
Yeah.
Had he had 50.
What was there, you would have thought.
We'd feel different this morning.
You would have thought at some point we'd get the ball inbounds to Donovan.
That's true.
And then they would foul him and he would get his 50. It was fourth biggest playoff output
You're
of his
right.
career.
I just rewatched that baseline thing. If he just runs to his left, Okoro's open.
Right. He's wide open. Okoro, even looks, we're talking about after the make. Max Strus with 27 seconds left inbound ball. Max was fantastic. He did. Don't expect me to come on today and do my normal Max Strus.
I got something for you.
Shtick. I know. Maybe after I hear the sound, maybe you can point me in that direction.
I don't know. Strus Moose was pretty short with everybody after the game.
He was incredible. He had the big dunk. He had the threes. He had a barrage. He did go cold in the late third, fourth. But you were taking points any way you could get them. And who are you more confident with taking shots, actual shots? Yeah, free throws. Okay, Donovan, who did miss four, but he took 21. There was nobody I was more confident in last night than Max Strus, but he went a little cold until he hit that three-pointer, and then you thought you had things wrapped up. 27 seconds left. He's trying to inbound the ball. Nobody can get open until, like, at the four-second mark, but Max isn't running the baseline. He's kind of hopping the baseline, and Okoro's wide open, and instead Atkinson calls timeout to save them because they were about to turn the ball over possibly. And that was the last timeout.
Donovan also wasn't on the floor at that point.
No.
And Greg Anthony said, you know, he took the timeout to get Donovan
to get rest.
On. Well, to get
optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Getting back on the court there, I think they would have been perfectly happy ending that game with Donovan Mitchell off the court had they inbounded the ball and got it over the half-court line.
Because that's the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Because at least they're going to foul there, and then you bring Donovan back in at that point, and you still have a timeout.
Well, I wish that's what would have happened, but that's not what happened.
It's brutal. It is absolutely brutal. Ken?
They choked and they freaked out and they lost the basketball game. And now they're down 2-0 in a series. So, people are still saying that they can win. We'll find with Justin Termini what he has to say at 7:02. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's this sucks. And I just have to sit here and I got to take it. And I'm contemplating a lot of things right now. Contemplating a lot of things. It's 6:30 in the morning after that loss. And I'm sure calmer heads will prevail this afternoon with me. But as of right now, if Donovan said he wanted to trade any of them, get him out. Get him out. Get him out. Kick him in the ass on the way out the door. I don't care. I'll trade him. I don't care. I don't care. Max Strus should stay. Who else?
I thought Jared Allen.
Now I'm going down the roster. I'm not doing this.
Jared Allen had a gutsy performance.
There was a point
he was exhausted in the first half.
There was a point near the end of the game where they showed the camera showed Jared, and you could tell the bench was asking him, "Hey, do you need a blow?" And he was telling
right.
him, "No,
I'm staying in there." You're right. I'm just mad.
But
you're right,
Ken.
You're right.
This is I love the emotion from you. I don't want an all-time Cleveland thing because there is the montage of all-time Cleveland things. But in your radio broadcast, in the last 13, 14 years that you've been on air here in Cleveland, where's it ranked for you?
It's honestly, it's above 2018 in game one because I didn't think they were going to beat the Warriors in game one. I didn't think they were going to beat the Warriors in game one. And they still got to the finals. Like they still, it was like the last hurrah of LeBron. We knew LeBron was going. It's worse than 2018 because you were still in the finals. This is the Eastern Conference semis. If you don't win this series, and right now it doesn't look a lot like you will, even though they're, what, 1.5-point favorites on Thursday?
That's what I had last night.
Third straight game,
yeah, 1.5-point favorites somehow, some way. So they're favorites going in on Friday, so I don't want to lose. But, man, you don't get out of this now. It's like, man, there's going to be some freaking out. There's going to be some freaking out. And I hate this. I hate this personally as a fan, and I'm going to tell you right now I hate it professionally. I should say this later. All you people who sit there and think, oh, Ken just wants to talk football all the time. He don't want to talk about the Cavs. Yeah, I can't wait. I really can't wait if they lose this series. Dude, what did Shador have for breakfast today? Well, what number did Shador? Did you see what Shador's friend put on Instagram yesterday? 216-474-0092. What did Shador do? What about Dylan Gabriel? Who's going to be the quarterback today? Who's going to be the quarterback tomorrow? Who's going to be the quarterback on Thursday? 216-474-0092. I got all effing summer to talk about the Browns. Please, 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 because it's going to be bad. We'll talk about trading, getting mad, getting rid of Darius, because that's going to come up again, getting rid of everybody else again, and then it's just going to be Shedeur Sanders for the rest of the time until it's actually time to talk about the Browns.
If it makes you feel better, it was 1.5 last night. It's 2.5 this morning.
All right.
The maybe sharps, and the big money coming in.
They slept on it. If I keep they woke getting up and said, you know what, give them another one.
Maybe if I keep getting emotional, we'll run it up further.
Maybe they know Darius is going to get shot up as many times as you can legally get shot up before going out there.
Oh, it's going to be John Voight in Varsity Blues.
Roll the cortisone trucks
I'm
out to Indianapolis.
I'm kicking that door open. I will fight James Vanderbeek right now over it.
Instead of the t-shirt cannon. It's just a steady stream.
The cortisone cannon.
Whatever you need, get it in there.
What is this text for? Oh, yeah, I got to go on Dan Dockage's show. I guess I would rather talk about the Hustlers
this
morning. You're
going to be race hustling?
God in heaven. To the phones we go, Todd and Akron. Hello, Todd.
Todd, thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
I'm hearing you. This series is over. I'm telling you, they don't even have it in them. Like you said, it was exhausted. What the hell you been exhausted for? You in the playoffs.
Well, it is a physically taxing game.
That's exactly what Dockage said.
It is a physically taxing game, Todd. I can tell that they were exhausted. I think that I would imagine that the Pacers were a little tired, too, a little tuckered out.
A little tired. Looked like to me they was gaining strength as the game went on. And they wasn't
boxing out. They were hulking up.
They were getting all the rebounds. Come on, man. You think they're going to go in Indiana and beat them two games? No. They're going to get swept.
Listen, Todd, I'm going to tell you that they can because I don't want to accept the possibility that they won't. That is not a plan, and that is not confidence. You can read between the lines on that, right?
I can read between the lines, man, but they better do something. I mean, like, they should have never won
hell
that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, they better do something. They should have won that. The Cavs should have won that game. I know that's what you're saying. Yeah, no, yes, yes, yes. Todd, thank you for the call.
By the way, you know what I don't need to see? I don't need to see win probability memes or win probability GIFs and screenshots from the internet.
Wear it like a scarlet letter.
We know. Improbable comebacks mean you had probably a 99.9% chance of winning. I don't really need the math. I don't need the y-axis and the x-axis. I don't need any of the graphing. Nah. That's okay. You can put that stuff away.
I don't care.
I'll just go ahead and assume the Cavs had a really, really good shot at winning the game until they didn't win the game. I can pretty much assume that.
I disagree. I'm going to wear it all like a cloak of failure. I'm the strumpet walking around in the town square.
It looks like a meme coin.
Aramis and West Park.
Oh, yeah. It was up, and then it went down.
Aramis and West Park.
So, situational football or basketball, you've got Strus, right, with that inbound. That was a disaster, right? Then you have the three-pointer that was made. He grabbed his rebound, and he dribbled out to the key, right? He was going to take the last shot. Why on earth would you not try to get the ball out of his hand and double him? A two ties it. You go to overtime or you at least get the last shot going back down, right? No, they let him take that shot. Game over.
Well, it's Jerome. So hold on real quick.
5 seconds to go.
Hold on one sec.
5 seconds to go.
Aramis not going to hold on.
Okay, Aramis ain't holding on for anything.
Just get through it. Just get through it. Don't let me stop.
Pound the way through, babe.
What was that?
Nothing. Keep going.
No, with 1.5 seconds to go, why are you inbounding the ball and giving it to the guy that's, you know, pass the ball down court and see if you can get a shot off.
Well, they're out of time and they didn't have a timeout there. I understand, but the Ty Jerome thing. So Ty Jerome one on one against Halliburton is out there. He gets Halliburton to change directions, but then he's lurching in the wrong direction, and Halliburton does a step back at the very least. So Aramis was talking about bringing a second defender. You do that, you're giving somebody what is probably a game winning opportunity for an open three. In this case, I just think Jerome needed to overplay him and force him to drive into the lane. They're not normally not calling fouls at the end of games like that.
Why wasn't Dean White on the court?
And so, Owen, you brought that up to me off the air, and I look back, and I'm like, well, he wasn't in foul trouble. Yeah, yeah.
There's 12 seconds left.
And they're shooting a free throw. And they're shooting a free throw, so is he playing the percentages?
And it's not like he is an offensive liability. He's one of the guys I want shooting a three if we have to at the end of a game, too. Why is he not on the court?
216-474-0092. How are you feeling after last night? Oh, great. It's a wonderful feeling. We'll get to some of you guys. And, yeah, I give him credit. Tyrese Halliburton, who hit the game-winning three, Fans were chanting overrated. I didn't hear the chants. Do we have the chants?
Oh, yeah. They were chanting overrated. And remember, it was a couple weeks ago, right before the playoffs started, The Athletic did one of their surveys around the league asking players different questions. Who's the MVP? Underrated, overrated, and Halliburton was the number one overrated player.
He's
now had two of the biggest playoff moments of the year.
With this free throw and then try to get a stop and build some momentum going into the half.
Jairus Walker comes in for Rick Carlisle. Siakam sits.
All right, I didn't hear that because I usually watch on mute or the volume very low. The volume was very low last night. Do we have Tyrese Halliburton after the game? I'm sure this is going to make me pleased. Go ahead.
That one was unexpected. I didn't know we had beef, but good for them. That came out of nowhere, but now that that label's there, they're all, as it's going to be every time we play somebody. You know, for me, I just control what I can, man, and overrate that.
Okay, I do wonder, and I've always wondered about things like this, like college football, overrate, or college basketball, the overrated thing you always wonder because does it diminish when you're beating a team, but then you're calling them overrated?
There's too much thinking there.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's one of the oldest questions. I've heard this for 30 years, right? In this case now, do you have to stay away from the overrated thing forever?
Well, clearly he's not overrated. He's hitting all these shots. So clearly he's not overrated. The overrated thing, that's just it's a bad label.
Yo, when I
got to take it. They won, we lost. I'd love to yell and cuss them out, but we lost.
When I was young, the Cleveland crowd at Richfield was one of the only ones to boo Michael Jordan every time he touched the ball. He really didn't get that treatment in every city like he did in Cleveland. It was after the shot, then every time he touched the ball, he would get booed. And just I was a very, very young fan, but I'm like, maybe we shouldn't boo him anymore. He seems to like it when you boo him.
He was rated overrated by his peers.
Yeah,
this was not like a fan poll.
Yeah, but fans are fans. Fans are going to call a lot of people overrated.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not. I don't hold it against the fans for doing the overrated.
Should he be naming names then of his peers in the NBA? Should he be calling out other teams and other players? I bet he knows some of the names.
Poll.
But he should just assume who said it.
He knows some of them guys are saying.
It was probably hanging chat.
He's like, I bet you Draymond called me overrated.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Draymond definitely called
me. Mitch said during the break we had it coming to us.
All right, Mitch.
I suggested with a chant like that.
Suggested. Now we're getting soft
in the middle of a game where you don't have the win certified yet. That's the first time I saw the Cavs crowd do something like that and be like, kind of had it coming to us.
How did they have it it coming to them.
Because you
they're
don't,
the crowd. They're the
because
fans.
You don't do that in a situation where you it's a must-win
yeah,
game,
can.
Too.
You can do that all you want. They were up by 20 at one point. They were up by 7 with 48
when
seconds
was
left.
But Mitch,
they
when
did not
was
go out
this?
There.
I want to say, I didn't get the exact time right, but I want to say it was in the second half. Because they showed it on TV. Donovan was like trying to shut the crowd down, it seemed, on television. They didn't talk about it, but... We don't want to get ahead of ourselves like that because you said it. In today's NBA, a 20-point lead can evaporate
okay,
so quickly.
Okay, but who didn't get an inbound? Was it the guys in Section 213 or was it the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I'm not saying that every person in the crowd that night was responsible for the Cavs' loss. I'm saying the people who were calling him overrated kind of got their comeuppance
okay,
when the
fans.
Guy gets the game-winning shot
like
at
overrated.
The end.
Okay, with 21 seconds left
yes.
in the first half,
got
Donovan
it.
Goes over to the crowd to silence them. So was that out of being a classy... adversary, or was that, on the other hand, was that, don't jinx it.
I got a push notification on my phone that described that exact scene where Cavs fans call him overrated. Donovan's trying to be classy and trying to calm him down.
So, Kenny, is Donovan with Mitch in this scenario? Did Donovan, well, does he understand the basketball gods and how they operate?
I don't understand. Who
I've
was-
got a lot of Donovan Mitchell sound in here. Not one of them does Donovan Mitchell go, we had it coming to us because the fans chanted overrated.
Yeah, no, so we want the fans to be loud, but now we have to figure out what the fans are allowed to say. Plus, there's a lot of rules being put down for the fans in this postseason, and I don't like it. What to say, what not to say, what to wear, when they can wear it. I no. Okay, they're fans. They paid their way in. They can chant within reason. There's obviously, I don't want them chanting vulgarities, but... chant what you want for the most part.
You can do it at the officials.
I don't want a bunch of... This isn't Monday Night Raw. Chant within reason what you want. Overrated is a fair enough chant. I don't give a damn. They weren't the ones that couldn't inbound a pass. They weren't the ones that turning the ball over and doing stupid things.
You don't think Halliburton got a little bit hyped up by the crowd calling him overrated and that kind of pushed him
I'm
to play
sure
better?
I'm sure he did, but I don't think that's what made him shoot the ball better.
I mean, we've seen
that's
Indiana Pacers do that.
The
entirety of Madison Square Garden got Reggie Miller to score 25 points in the fourth quarter of a playoff game
Reggie
back
Miller
in the 90s.
Got Reggie Miller to score 25 points in a playoff game in Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden and their fans had nothing to do with it. I know that we like to sit there and we like to make documentaries about this sort of thing. Guys in New York had nothing to do with Reggie Miller. Which, by the way, if we want to go on the other side and what it was like over there at their, what was it used to be called? Conseco Fieldhouse?
Yeah.
No, Market Square Arena.
Market Square.
Do you want to go back to what some of the guys were
Trump.
Doing? What they were doing with the pennants
sure.
at Market Square Arena? That fan base? We want to do that? Don't think we do.
I saw the doc.
Those weren't Pope hats, buddy. 216-474-0092. You blame a lot of things. They're blaming the fans today. Ain't doing that. Termini at 7 o'clock. I get to the phones. Greg and Canton. Hello, Greg.
Okay, I understand the baseline play when they were inbounding it. What I don't understand was, after the timeout, what were they doing? Why wouldn't you run an inbound pass to the backcourt where there's more space? They're trying to throw a 50-50 ball where there's six guys who are 6'8" or high, taller, basically in a circle. That was just like a heave. That play made no sense to me at all.
There was Greg. There's a lot of things that made no sense. Tone, Greg. I wish I could have.
Well, one thing is for sure.
Thank you for the call, Greg. I'm sorry.
They were a bunch of panicky Petes. There was no doubt. There were a bunch of guys that did not look sure with the basketball and the length of. And plus, it was helter skelter. I think that was part of it too, but these guys just came undone in a way that I just could not believe.
I'm glad you. I got a text here, so sorry. Greg, I owe you a phone call in the future because I was only half paying attention. Ian Rappaport reporting today, just moments ago, that the Steelers are trading George Pickens, their wide receiver, to the Cowboys in a deal that should be official soon. So George Pickens is officially
gone from
Pittsburgh.
Can I beat all the Steelers to the punch with their homer take, especially Filippone?
Yeah, what?
Addition by subtraction. You're going to see a lot of that today. Even though all they were talking about was their new star-studded wide receiver tandem, and then the minute he gets straight, it's a dish. You see, they're going to get better now because he was a circus.
Well, maybe he'll lose his mind too, the way AB did, and the way Deontay Johnson. Oh, wait a minute.
Hey, what did we get him for yesterday? Officially, million,
like $1.1 million. Yeah,
got a new number too.
Which number did he get? Did he get Shador's number?
Kevin and Madonna, you got to go quick. Go ahead. Got to go quick.
Yeah, there was a lot of problems. The Cavs made a lot of bad decisions. One of the biggest ones in my mind was Mitchell let his guy get to the rebound on the missed foul shot.
Did
he let him so much as, or did he expect him not to go in until the release?
Yeah. Why did
it happened. I'm not denying it.
I'm not going to bring that point up yet.
And that insult to injury.
Kevin, thank you for the call.
After the dunk, he ends up getting shoved and kind of jumped on because he was playing from behind. And then he gets taunted. That insult to injury. Was it just a disaster, the whole thing?
Darius Garland is being cussed out of my mentions. Keith put the video up of me losing my mind earlier. And guys, I think Darius Garland knows what you say about him. He'd be out there if he could play. He's getting called every name in the book on social media right now. If he could be out there, he could play. Or he would play. I do believe he's truly too hurt to be out there. If we find out something different later on, then I'll say something different later on. But I would imagine he knows what everybody says about him. He knows what the book is on him, and he probably would want to change that. Probably what would best probably serve him. I don't want to put words in other people's mouths or steal points from other people. It's like, well, you know, game three's coming up. If he wants to go out there and hobble around,
so what?
To show everybody that he's hurt.
Is the assumption that Darius is like, man, I finally had my bounce back season. I was all NBA for most of the season. I had those first two playoff games against Miami where I was lights out and looked like finally I had conquered the playoff demons. And now how can I make fans mad at me again?
At the same time, I'm afraid to get that defensive of him. Because I don't fully trust him. I don't fully I assume he would be out there because he's a professional athlete if he could. I don't fully trust it to say it just yet, which is probably not good.